You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily NFL fantasy podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyerman. I'm not doing this. I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. Come to the site now. We have the fallout from that 2022 NFL draft here for you, including my rookie rankings. These are very early rookie rankings. We'll update them, and we'll talk about them here as we do that, as we get into August, deep into training camp, preseason, understand what these rookies' roles might be. What other things break for them on their new rosters here in the NFL? So we do want to take an initial look to see where we're at with some of these players, what we think. This is based on the upside and the situation. And we know the number one thing with any fantasy football player we look at, talent, because talent will produce numbers, get you opportunities to get those numbers as well. So it's not always the best drafted rookies that have the best opportunity. It is the mix of the talent and the situation there. So we'll do that for you. Look at the blend there and go through our top 25 here for you. So with them all here on the show, thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen every day. We are free and available to you on all platforms. So we just got through May the 4th. Now we're at Cinco de Mayo. So let's celebrate with some rookie rankings here. Maybe have a margarita while you're watching this or listening, and let's see where we're at, and it'll be a fiesta later with these guys, and hopefully we'll have a lot of good returns from these rookies. So let's start at the top here, Breece Hall to the Jets. Now, we were excited about Michael Carter. He was a sleeper last year, had some opportunities, looked okay, passed by there as a half-point PPR value, but then he could stay healthy. He was a change of pace back from North Carolina. Javonte Williams took off there and looked good for the Broncos, but Carter had some issues there, so now you look at Breece Hall in the mix. We broke him down here. Good opportunity as a second-round pick to see a lot of key touches for this Jets team. So the Jets are trying to get all their primary playmakers intact. If you look at it now, you have Garrett Wilson there at rookie wide receiver helping Corey Davis and Elijah Moore. Then you have their offensive line. Then you got the two tight ends here that they added, two good blockers from the respective teams there, the Bengals and the Vikings, CJ Uzama and Tyler Conklin. They added them to the mix. They drafted another tight end, Jeremy Ruckert, in the draft. He's not on the list here in the rankings, but all this points to say they want a balanced, explosive offense. You have Mike LaFleur coming from Kyle Shanahan. Running the ball at a high level with one back is very essential to opening up the rest of the offense for big plays all over the field and different looks and play action. So Breece Hall is just a special back out of Iowa State, big play back. Clearly the best situation for anyone, and really comes down to Zach Wilson being a little legitimate, but we also saw James Robinson produce pretty well despite Trevor Lawrence and the shaky QB situation. I think Wilson's going to be pretty good. If he can stay healthy, the offensive line helps. Just having all these guys. Don't forget about Laken Tomlinson, a big addition for the offensive line. So Breece Hall comes in number one in the rankings, and for a very good reason. There's the first running back drafted in 2022. Next guy drafted in 22 at that position also should be the way you look at it in fantasy football. Kenneth Walker III from Michigan State. He goes, we know, to the Seahawks, and it's lining up well. We just need to see some things happen here. Rashad Penny, they're lukewarm on. I know he had a good finish to the season, but they didn't pick up his option before that. I don't think they want to buy too much into him. He was a first-round pick that we know has been a bit of a bust, except for that last stretch last year in fantasy. So there's that. You have Chris Carson, just completely can't stay healthy, and a guy that they don't trust. They've mixed in some other guys like Travis Homer and DJ Dallas, but Kenneth Walker's a three-down player, very powerful back. You look at the situation here with the offensive line, you get Charles Cross on the left side, Abraham Lucas, a potential another rookie on the right side starting. So love that situation. With this, we're looking for the right blend of running back volume and talent situation emerging here. And clearly, the Jets and Seahawks are conducive for these two players, despite some guys in there, such as Carter and Carson and Penny, to make both these guys highly productive right away as rookies. So start with the running backs. That's a position where the scarcity is. And you can look at Hall and Walker as upside RB2s. Hedge your bets a little bit with the guys behind him, but I want to invest in the backs with upside as much as possible, rookies or whatever, and Hall and Walker definitely bring that. At number three is Drake London. Now, a bit of a boomer bust pick for the Falcons. I'm not sure if his talent is going to pan out, but the situation can't be beat. He's got a massive catch radius here. Calvin Ridley suspended. They don't have Russell Gage. Olamide Zaccheaus is their best returning wide receiver at this point. So you look at that, and then you have Kyle Pitts. So what do we want with a rookie? We want him to be in the top three targets on his team if we're looking there to have enough volume targets to make up for it. Does the guy have potential for touchdowns? Yes, he's a big dude, 6'5". Is there someone else to deflect attention where he's not going to get double teams? Yes, it's Kyle Pitts, because that's a guy that you're going to focus on, and a lot of defenses certainly did that when Ridley was suspended last year and made Russell Gage beat them. And Gage put up decent numbers, but Drake London is a better overall talent. So situation, I still may not love him as much as the other wide receivers that are taken. Any wide receiver in this spot, I would have loved here, taking over with the Marcus Mariota, but this big target here playing off Pitts really makes sense. The next player is Christian Watson. Now, people want to wait and see a little bit. What's his role going to be? Is he going to be really the Marquez Valdes-Scantling of the Packers, which would put him more in wide receiver 3, wide receiver 4 conversation? Or is he going to be more the Davante Adams of the Packers and get that high volume? There's a lot of vacant targets, nearly 250 there. So I'm really liking Deshaun Watson in Cleveland, but Christian Watson, don't sleep on him. Deshaun Watson, if he plays, he'll be QB1. I think Christian Watson has potential for wide receiver 1. I don't think it'll necessarily come to fruition here. Aaron Rodgers has got to have his trust, but he's a wide receiver 2, I think. Just the situation says he has to be. I don't think they're going to suddenly trust Alan Lazard as a go-to guy. Randall Cobb is not going to resurrect his career on the other side of 30. They drafted Watson for a reason, made that deal up with the Vikings. So Christian Watson has to come in at 4 and the second wide receiver we look at in fantasy football for now. Treylon Burks is then on the board. Robert Woods is coming off a torn ACL with his new team, the Titans. You have A.J. Brown gone. Julio Jones, they didn't bring him back either. Your best tight end option is Austin Hooper. Treylon Burks is clearly planted into the top part of the passing game for the Titans. I know they don't throw a lot. They're about Derrick Henry, but they drafted a clone of A.J. Brown here that they think. So at least, you know, from their perspective, they're going to have the usage. I don't know if Burks is nearly as talented as A.J. Brown. I think Brown's a little bit more explosive, but I think Burks, in relation to this field, is pretty good of wide receivers, and I think he steps in a pretty good spot, especially if Woods can give them a little bit. I don't think he's going to light up after the ACL. He's more of a possession versatile guy for them. I think Burks is going to be the guy that try to get the ball in the hands after the catch. So if that's a translation there, then he's going to have a chance to pick up the slack with A.J. Brown's numbers while Robert Woods tries to improve on what Julio Jones and others did not give them there as the number two, including Josh Reynolds there in Tennessee. All right, let's go to the next player. It is Garrett Wilson. I like his spot here with the Jets, but you do have Corey Davis. You have Elijah Moore. He finished really well as a wide receiver 3 last year. Davis was looking pretty solid there as a target for Zach Wilson until Wilson, the quarterback, went down. Now, Garrett Wilson needs to help these guys a little bit. I think they'll play off each other. Garrett Wilson, however, drafted kind of as a number 1. That makes Corey Davis a big body possession number 2, and this should put Elijah Moore into the slot. So it really comes down to the chemistry. Let's watch if it's Wilson and Wilson. Is it more Wilson and Moore? Moore basically got it done with the revolving door of quarterbacks there last year. So keep that in mind with one Garrett Wilson. But he's, I think, overall the most talented player. So if he had been in the situation in the Falcons or the Packers passing game or even the Titans passing game, I would bump him up there to be right next to maybe even ahead of Hall and Walker, but didn't play out to that effect here as he's a third, kind of the co-target with the other two of the Jets. Keep in mind how good Elijah Moore was last year, so they're not going to totally forget about him, and he already has the benefit of having been there in a camp and a cycle as a fellow rookie to Zach Wilson, where you have Wilson coming in, this Wilson, Garrett coming in a little bit late. Chris Olave to the Saints, also kind of interesting as well. If he had been in that situation again in Atlanta, been great, or even the Commanders at this point, but he is a special player, big playmaker, but they do have some other mouths to feed. Marquez Callaway is not a big slot guy, but Michael Thomas has that capacity as kind of a big slot in the short to intermediate realm, so that's going to help. But Olave is going to be on the field. You also have Alvin Kamara you have to worry about, but this pretty much means they're going to try to spread the field and stretch the field deep here. So now this set tight end love that you're probably going to go in the direction of Adam Trautman, so that's going to help Olave as well. But trying to get this deep passing game, maybe open it up a little bit without Sean Payton. Olave is going to be part of it. We'll see what Michael Thomas has left. We haven't seen him on the field for quite a while. He's more of a short to intermediate target, so I would not be surprised at all if Olave, way more appealing right now than Michael Thomas in this particular offense, as they replaced Teron Armstead, left tackle, with Trevor Penning. They also want to push the ball downfield with James Winston. Olave can track those balls and be that type of receiver a lot better than Michael Thomas. Finally, the third receiver I kind of liked above the guys that went before or right around the time, London Burks, is the one Jameson Williams of Alabama. He ends up with the Lions. Interesting landing spot. Amon Ross St. Brown coming off a big year as their slot receiver. Really got on the fantasy football radar late as a rookie. Very surprising rookie season. I liked the talent there coming out of USC. Really came to fruition. So you also have DJ Chark, who can deflect some attention. So good position there in the Jameson Williams thing to be one of their top three targets. A little bit complicated with TJ Hawkinson and DeAndre Swift also being assets in the passing game, but something definitely to watch with that group. But yeah, Williams is a special receiver. They traded up to get him, much like the Packers made the deal with the Vikings. The Lions did too. So they have big plans for Williams playing off. I think he's going to be maybe the primary guy. Chark is going to be that third possession guy. But Williams and St. Brown in the middle, pretty good combination for the Lions going forward. The biggest question there is Williams, can Jared Goff get the ball downfield to him? All right, we do have to go through several more. That was eight, my top eight there in my rankings. We'll go dive into nine and so forth and close all the way through 25 in our final segment here. And before we do that, I got to tell you, it's Mother's Day and it's coming right around the corner here, just a couple days away. You got to get it all squared away here because it's Sunday. You got to take care of mom in the best possible way. And maybe it's also time for someone else's in your life that you need to get a special gift for, whether it's a daughter getting ready to graduate, or you're looking at a significant other and her birthday is coming up, or an anniversary here. We know there's a lot of wedding anniversaries, May, June, and July. Well, the best place you can go is to find the fine jewelry you're looking for is BlueNile.com. Jewelry is a special gift that your special woman is going to treasure forever, whoever she is. And if you're having trouble choosing, Blue Nile's jewelry experts on hand 24/7. They're available via phone or chat to help you find a memorable gift at every budget. Take care of your mom with something enduring. Classic diamond stud earrings, elegant tennis bracelets, birthstones, pendants, and so much more. Only at BlueNile.com. Celebrating the special women in your life can be easy with BlueNile.com. You can easily navigate thousands of fine jewelry options at every price point. This Mother's Day, give mom something she'll treasure forever with the fine jewelry from BlueNile.com. And Locked On Fantasy Football listeners get $50 off $500. This podcast exclusive is only good through Mother's Day. Use the promo code Locked On. That's the code Locked On. Plus, every order is insured, ships free, and arrives in discreet packaging. That won't give away what's inside. Shop stress-free and find your forever peace. Go to BlueNile.com/fantasy. You'll take advantage of there, BlueNile.com, and get that special offer there with Locked On as your promo code. So looking forward to that. It's a big holiday, and make sure you take care of that someone special with BlueNile.com and many of their gifting options. All right, we will get into more of our rankings here. We'll start at number 9 and go down here, starting with another wide receiver. Thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen every day. We are free and available to you on all platforms. All right, number 9 is Sky Moore, the wide receiver of the Chiefs. They drafted him to be the replacement for one Tyreek Hill, tough, quick slot receiver. They did add Juju Smith-Schuster and Marcus Valdes-Scantling, but keep in mind they lost DeMarcus Robinson and Byron Pringle, so those guys could be more replacements for them. Versatile inside-outside guys that you can put. MVS more of the outside deep threat. Juju Smith-Schuster more of the big slot. They're not really sold on Mecole Hardman being the Tyreek Hill clone that we've thought. They like him in the return game, but Sky Moore, let's watch for him. Very speedy, can get the attention of Patrick Mahomes, and I think he's worth drafting late as a wide receiver 3 potential down the line here for sure as a rookie. Sky Moore, again, deep ball tracking is his specialty, and that's what Patrick Mahomes is going to try to do. The next guy on the list is Jahan Dotson. Terry McLaurin was a bit disappointing last year as the primary target. Part of it was that Logan Thomas was out, so all the attention went on McLaurin. So this is going to help McLaurin's value here with another receiver to deflect attention. Now, when you hear this name, it could sound like Josh Doxson for you. No, it is Jahan Dotson, completely different receiver, speed receiver. Carson Wentz likes those types. You go look going back to Nelson Aguilar making some big plays for him. He likes the speed demons. DeSean Jackson, another good comparison there. So that's what they did for Wentz. That's going to help his value for sure. And then it's going to help McLaurin. We'll see what you get from Dotson in himself, but very special situation there. All right, the next guy we'll look at is James Cook. We're back to running backs, and James Cook, Dalvin's brother, right? He's out of Georgia. He went to the Bills, a very special change of pace back. Got a lot of receiving skills that you look at for James Cook. And I think it's going to be a good situation. I think they're pretty much squeezing out Zach Moss from this mix a little bit. So Devin Singletary and James Cook figure to be the combination because Cook is a superior receiver to Singletary and also has more juice and burst than Moss, who's more of a power back. So it looks like Moss might be the odd man out. They did also sign Duke Johnson Jr., but Cook can step in right away and be a special receiver here that Duke was at one point, but he's a little bit older. So Cook has a lot of upside here in this very explosive Bills offense, potentially finishing and potentially having a big role, at least as a handcuff should Singletary go down. And Singletary, keep in mind, is an RB2, so that gives Cook a lot of upside in this offense. Now, David Bell's next. He's the wide receiver with a good size, good decent speed out of Purdue. They're looking still for their number two in Cleveland. They got Donovan Peoples-Jones. I think he's going to be the guy that is the deep threat here, playing off of Mark Cooper. But big slot, I think he was compared a lot to Juju coming out of the draft, so I like that position. Again, can he be in the top three targets? That's going to be key. They did lose Austin Hooper. They throw more to David Njoku. Really look at Deshaun Watson. He's not Mr. Checkdown guy. He wants to find his wide receivers here. So having Bell in the mix is another outside-inside guy to put in there with Cooper and Donovan Peoples-Jones. Peoples-Jones can be more the Will Fuller here. I think Bell has a sleeper chance to help and get that DeAndre Hopkins-like role with one Amari Cooper. All right, let's go to our next pick. It is Damon Pierce. Yes, Damon Pierce. Actually, we like Alec Pierce here, so we got two Pierces on the list. I got a little ahead of myself here, but Alec Pierce steps into a really good situation. So two Pierces on your list there. But Damien, a little bit later, we'll talk about him. He's the running back of the Texans. Staying in the division, the AFC South, we have Alec Pierce. He's a speedster out of Cincinnati, big size speed prospect on the outside, playing off of Michael Pittman Jr. They need to replace the targets T.Y. Hilton and Zach Pascal, among others in this offense. So looking at Alec Pierce as a nice sleeper here, playing off Pittman, interchangeable, can play on the outside. We know Matt Ryan likes this type of receiver, a little bit Calvin Ridley-style receiver here. So keep that in mind if they're doing a Jones-Ridley comparison with Pittman and Pierce, you should see pretty good volume here from this run offense, and the run offense and play action will set up things downfield. All right, the next guy that we look at is Kenny Pickett of Pittsburgh, going to Pittsburgh, and look, he's the first quarterback on the list and a guy that we do have to monitor here. We had Ben Roethlisberger finish as QB21 last year, QB14 the year before, and Matt Canada offense was not as friendly here, but I think Pickett is a much better fit. He's got good athleticism, good arm. The weapons are there. They worked on the offensive line a little bit. You got Najee Harris, Pat Freiermuth, Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, and the next guy on the list on our fantasy football rankings, George Pickens. But good weapons here for Pickett. Good situation, good coaching staff, going to be a winning team. That's going to help. And Pickett has some dynamic running ability as well to pad his stats here as a rookie. So from Alec Pierce to Kenny Pickett to George Pickens, we spoiled the next guy for you. The Steelers want to use more 11 personnel, three wide receivers. That means Johnson and Claypool get more company from Pickens. You'll see Pat Freiermuth out there, but more in one tight end sets here. Najee Harris out of the backfield. Pickens can stretch the field a little bit. He's a big slot option here. We talk about big slot and what that means, and we talked about David Bell being like that for the Browns. This is a great candidate for big slot because we know Chase Claypool and Deontay Johnson like to play outside. Juju, that was the void there, so they like Pickens there, can make some plays and stretch the field a little bit there out of Georgia. So like the upside, like the style of offense. So Pickett and Pickens, maybe a combination we're looking at more in fantasy. But right now, how you break it down, I think Deontay Johnson bumps up to wide receiver one. That's where he finished last year. Chase Claypool, borderline wide receiver 2-3, and Pickens becomes a wide receiver 4, maybe with the potential to being a 3 here in fantasy. Next pick that you look at in the rankings is Tyler Allgeier. He's running back from BYU. He lands up with the Falcons. We talked about how they have a void there, lost Mike Davis. Don't have a true back. He's a real top true running back with Cordarrelle Patterson. So interesting there. So watch out for him. He's not too far away from seeing a big role as a power runner in Arthur Smith's offense. And finally, the last player we'll cover here in this segment here before we get into our last few is John Mechie, the speedster there of the Alabama program. He's now with the Texans. We'll see how it plays out between the other guys with the other receivers and really see what we can get out of them. So really, looking at the Texans, you look at Chris Conley, just not a threat there. Nico Collins, I like his skill set a little bit on the outside out of Michigan in his second year. Brandon Cooks, they toyed with the idea of trading him. And you got really not too much in the way of options here in this passing game. So right now you have Cooks, Collins, and Conley, the three C's. Mechie kind of breaks up that alphabet run here for this team. So looking overall with the Mechie skill set, the Canadian, I think he fits really well with what the Texans want to do and stretch the field and use the big arm of Davis Mills. So we're going to put him on the radar, see what happens in the offseason. Maybe Cooks can still be moved here. Maybe there's an injury that opens things up. Chris Conley's not all that special. So there's a chance. It's all really about Mechie versus Brevin Jordan, the tight end, who gets more involved in the offense between those two. So those are the guys there that I look at in the next wave of the rankings here all the way through 18. We still have a good 8 more guys to talk about here on the fantasy football initial rankings here on Locked On Fantasy Football. And we do have another Pierce. So we got through Alec Pierce. We do have one more in our final segment. I promise you that in the rankings that I'm looking at with a lot of intrigue. We know it's Damian there. Another Texan to look at as well, as we just broke down John Mechie. There's a lot of action going on all across different leagues here. You got the Kentucky Derby back. The Run for the Roses here is in 2 days. The first Saturday in May, it's a tradition there, the 148th running of the Kentucky Derby. Some good horses there that you got to check out, including Messier and Zandon and Epicenter. Who's going to win that? You got to find this at betonline.net, number one source for all your betting stats and sports information. Find all late sports developments, not just for the Kentucky Derby this weekend, but league reviews, news, and things that you need to know involving the NBA playoffs, Major League Baseball's second full month. And don't forget about the NHL playoffs right here and right now, ready to go. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, to esports, and more. Head to the website today, use a mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, it is time to close the show here. Looking at my last few picks, we'll go all the way through 25 in our rankings here. These are our guys that we're looking most at redrafts. There's some little bit of dynasty look to these guys, but again, dynasty guys, we're not talking about too much here, and there's some deep cuts here, but these are the top 25 I'm looking at right now based on their current situations. They could change as we go forward, not only 2022 and then beyond. Let's look at Hassan Haskins next, shall we? He's the running back that was taken by the Tennessee Titans out of Michigan. Big back. If you watched any of the Wolverines games last year, you saw him. He was pounding between the tackles. That's what the Wolverines want to do. Get the power running game going. Complement the defense. That's what Hassan Haskins delivered here in that big running back role. So love Haskins in that complementary role to Derrick Henry to give him some relief. He's coming off a major foot injury. The wear is there. The volume is massive on Derrick Henry. He's been superhuman with his size and strength and explosiveness, but we know he can wear down. We saw that at the end of last year. They admirably filled in with Dante Foreman, but Foreman moved on, signing there with the Panthers to give them a little bit of a depth push. You have Dontre Hilliard. That's it. He's a smaller back there behind Derrick Henry, but Haskins looks like the direct backup, early down power to Derrick Henry should something go down here. Much better choice than I think Darrington Evans was a few years ago. We talked about that. So Haskins has to be on the ranking just because he's such a high upside handcuff. This is not really a handcuff pick, but we're finally to our other Pierce that we're talking about. Also in the AFC South, we said Damian, the running back from Florida, ends in a very good spot here with the Texans. Right now, their backfield, it's a little less crowded even than their wide receiver core when you include tight end. Number one is Marlon Mack and Rex Burkhead. I mean, they can be co-number ones here. So Pierce is not that far from having a big role. They got to get the youth movement going. I don't understand Marlon Mack. He's a plotter. You know he can't stay healthy. Rex Burkhead has had his share of injury issues. He's more of a swing backup here. So Damian Pierce is in a great situation. The Texans, however, we tried to extract some value. Remember last year between David Johnson and Mark Ingram and Philip Lindsay, we were trying to get something out of that Texans backfield. Almost impossible until Burkhead showed up and put up some numbers down the stretch there. So There's some potential there in this running game. You're not going to get fantasy numbers from every situation in the backfield, but Damian Pierce at least gives you a little bit more of a chance than those two kind of veterans there that are meh and not that exciting, especially Marlon Mack being in the league, a guy that has not been able to stay healthy at all for the Colts and had maybe a little bit of production early in his career, but it's kind of faded since. This next pick is a handcuff slash late round flyer that is going to get a few touchdowns, be a complimentary back to some degree with Austin Eckler. Eckler, very worn down at times last year. He had to miss time. They want to be careful with him. He's a special player, but you got to keep him fresh. Isaiah Spiller can do that in the better than what they've had before, even with Justin Jackson last year. We've talked about Joshua Kelly. We got excited about him for a little while. We thought Larry Roundtree, three. Okay, Eckler's durability issues are there, but Eckler just keeps defying us here with his ability to stay healthy. Just a tough, well-compact, built runner here that's perfect for their system. But they need this power back to, again, relieve Eckler at times, really ease the burden on him. And this is going to help Eckler stay healthy. We want that as well. And Spiller, again, replacing Justin Jackson. I think they need fresher legs. They need more reliable legs, and they're more productive than what they had as youngsters there with Kelly. And really, Roundtree, they didn't put up the name numbers and kind of weren't a name running back the way Spiller was in college at Texas A&M. So good pickup there. Now we go to two quarterbacks back-to-back. First is Desmond Ridder. No more Pierce's on the list, but we do have two quarterbacks that we have to mention along with Kenny Pickett, who we ranked much earlier because of the great situation with the Steelers. Desmond Ridder's not starting, and that's basically what we're worried about the Falcons. Last year, Matt Ryan wasn't too far from a deep cut to QB1, a few spots away. I think QB20 was his finish, so a few spots higher if he had been healthier, if he had Calvin Ridley in there. Who knows what would happen? So Marcus Mariota adds the running element, so there's that production. Ridder also brings that. Ridder, very much like Mariota to some degree. He has a big arm, aggressive arm, can play off that, can run well. So really it comes down to, is he going to get the job there to get some running floor as a rookie quarterback, or we're going to have to wait till year two for him to put it all together. So something we need to look for there, 100% on the situation with Desmond Ridder being a potential to start somewhere down the line for Marcus Mariota. I think he has a better chance here than our next quarterback, because again, the Falcons are not tied to Marcus Mariota. The biggest reason he's there, he knows Arthur Smith's offense pretty well from their days in Tennessee together, so he's a transitional quarterback. Mariota is prepared. If he has to give the job up to Ridder and they have an open competition camp, if Ridder starts, then he's going to pique our interest a little bit, especially with London and Pitts as his key targets here, even without Calvin Ridley. All right, Malik Willis, if he gets the keys to the Titans offense at some point this season, watch out, because we know there's no A.J. Brown, but we've got Treylon Burks, we've got Robert Woods, Austin Hooper. They have a little bit more juice in the slot here with the rookie Kyle Phillips that they also added. Malik Willis also can run, and that always gives us some appeal in fantasy and giving us that element. Tannehill has actually boosted his numbers pretty well as a fantasy quarterback, but he's dropped. He went from solid to QB1 to more middling QB2 there, just outside the QB1s last year. So we want a rebound season here for Tannehill, but we can't totally buy it because he didn't really play well in the playoff game against the Bengals. So you look at Malik Willis here. Could he step in, get some late starts? Potentially. If the Titans have disappointment quarterback and Tannehill underwhelms here, they can definitely make the pivot to Malik Willis. So looking forward to seeing what Willis can do there for the Titans in this situation. And again, Tannehill puts up fantasy numbers, so there's a little bit more appeal with Willis overall. The question is, will Willis see the field here? They're tied to Tannehill a little bit more because his contract, you can't escape that to 2023. Well, the Falcons didn't make a big investment in Mariota and maybe more willing to have that competition open up and pivot to Ridder a bit earlier. And that's the difference there between Ridder and Willis, but they both have a lot of upside based on their situations. The next pick I look at here, this was interesting. We talked about it, and I don't know how I feel about it too much here, but I think we need to get some guys at the bottom that we had to rank here. And look, it's a Brian Robinson, and part of this is just Antonio Gibson's not ability to stay healthy. I don't feel like they're that crazy on Jared Patterson, even though he produced last year for the Commanders. So I like this power back. He can get in and make some plays. He has a chance to be a feature. And, you know, if something happened to Gibson, you have J.D. McKissick on standby as a receiving back. But I think they're plugging Brian Robinson to close out of Alabama. The power running sensibilities. Keep in mind, we have Scott Turner. It's the North Turner offense where they like to pound it, go Stephen Davis style on you, throw deep, play off the play action with the power running game to create things downfield for Carson Wentz right now. And that's why they also added Dotson. That's where you look at it. kind of the thing that you get in the NBA where you have the three-point game and the inside game. That's how they operate kind of the offense with the Turners. If you've seen it over years, they like the pound, 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 take your shot. That's what they have between Robinson and Dotson. I think they want to do that kind of more of an offensive scheme here for Turner that more fits in line with what his father did in calling plays. So something to watch there. That gives an opportunity for Robinson. But I still think Gibson is safe. It's just more about the durability and staying healthy for him. Rashad White is next. And I was a little cool on Rashad White. I think it was a bit of a reach pick here for the Buccaneers. But you can't be totally forgetting that Leonard Fournette can have some durability issues. Giovanni Bernard came back, but he's limited to being an older receiving back. Keyshawn Vaughn's okay, but he's been just a guy so far. He had won that big game there against the Panthers. We had some long runs, but still a lot to prove there. And you look at the other aspect here of no Ronald Jones. How has Rashad White fit into that mix? So very interesting when you look at this backfield overall with those three options, how Rashad White fits from Arizona State. So they actually might have him tab for a bigger thing as a guy that can complement Fournette a little bit better and stay on the field. So that's what we need to look at here because the handcuff situations can change very quickly. The opinions of these backs, how they're used and where we want to look at them to stash can change very quickly. And the backs, always keep your eye open for all running backs. That's what we do in fantasy football. It doesn't matter, veteran, rookie, if they're in any situation that they're close to get key touches, watch out there for this team to maybe pivot that way with a younger running back. And finally, Trey McBride. He's got two guys in front of him, Zach Ertz, but Ertz is getting older. Can have some durability issues. You have Max Williams coming off a big injury last year, and they signed both of those guys. So it's really about can Trey McBride at least get to Williams' status here on the depth chart, be the number two if they use more 12 personnel with Arizona. Is he going to get the chance there with Ertz? Is Ertz going to have some issues? But McBride kind of standing by. The landing spots for the other top tight ends weren't great. You had Jelani Woods going to the Colts, which he's got to share with Mo Alie-Cox. You had Cade Otton going to be on Cameron Brait, maybe Gronkowski there with the Buccaneers. You look at Isaiah Likely and Charlie Kolar stuck there with the Ravens. So it's just very tough to see that happen here, that you had all that to pile up here with tight ends that didn't really end up in good spots here. McBride, again, included in that group, but again, he's too talented to ignore here, especially if Ertz and Williams break down. I think he could have a big role here as a rookie, but I think more year two, year three, Ertz is on a short-term deal. Williams is also on a short-term deal. They might pivot that. Ertz is getting older. So more of a 2023-2024 consideration there, assuming Kyler Murray is still the quarterback and Cliff Kingsbury is still operating this offense where the tight end is key, playing off the wide receivers. All right, there you have it. There's my rookie rankings there, looking at all the picks that we broke down for you. Then this is what they look like when you're looking for the value there. So good stuff all around. Again, breaking down all the picks, when you put them in the blender, spit them out, this is what you want to know. How many of these fantasy football assets are going to be there for me from the rookie pool of players in 2021? So 2022, I should say. 2021's over, 2022, we're moving forward. Let's hope we have the same type of success when we find our Jamar Chases and those type of players, Javonte Williams, that come out of this class here in 2022. That would be fantastic, and I think the talent across the board. Just look at the wide receivers we talked about. And the running backs. I think these guys are pretty good. So quarterbacks, we're going to be a little bit lukewarm on. Pickett might work out as a streamer for us, a good valuable QB2 or backup. McBride has to have some things break his way. But yeah, it's all about running backs and wide receivers. Great class of wideouts, underrated class of running backs, all in good situations as always here for fantasy football as rookies this year in 2022. Thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen every day. Now make Locked On NFL your second listen. The schedule may be dark, but the scheduled release is right around the corner, and the NFL never stops. We know that from this past week of the draft. Neither does Locked On NFL. Get insights and opinions from hosts including Ross Jackson, Chris Carter, and Tony Wiggins, plus local Locked On NFL hosts repping all 32 squads. There's no offseason for real fans, as we know that here in Locked On Fantasy Football. So make sure you're subscribed to Locked On NFL as well, Locked On NFL on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this is Vinny Iyer. Have a Cinco de Mayo that's fun and safe out there. Enjoy it tonight. And we'll catch you tomorrow to close the week here on Locked On Fantasy Football Friday.